At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. My name is Andy Warren, and I've slid along into the host's chair this week. Mark Heath is walking the hills of the Peak District. He's in his happy place. But I'm in my happy place because I'm joined by a man who's still wearing his coat indoors, despite having been in the building for a good half hour, and has consumed a lot of pork-based sandwiches in the last 7 days. And that man, play the music, Ross, is Stuart Watson. Stuart, how are you? Cold.
Cold. You'll have known by now that I do layer up.
But we're in a building, man.
Yeah, I know, but I get cold bones.
Cold to the core.
I've got bad circulation.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
That's poor. My wife's got bad circulation, actually. Very cold feet.
Feel my hand. Ice.
Ooh. The Iceman. Also joined, of course, because we cannot do this without him, by a man who's actually also still wearing what I'd call a jacket rather than a coat, but that's his look. Producer Ross.
Had to stretch a little bit.
Ross, how are you?
Cold as well, but all good.
Good.
Yeah.
Everyone's cold. I'm wearing my special purple jumper, just because I like it.
I'm gonna take my jacket off, actually.
Take it off, get it off. But last but not least, we're also joined, play the music, by me. I'm here, Andy, Hutchzilla, Hutch Hogan, Michael Hutchins, Hutchstradamus, Hutch, I can't think of any more. Any more?
I think we canned Adolf Hutchler, didn't
let's
we?
Let's go with it. Adolf Hutchler, it lacks context, but it's fine. I'm here as well. Let's get all the music in, get our money's worth from all those royalties we're paying to the big dogs on the soundboard. Gentlemen, how are we? We're still in the FA Cup. We're sat here and Ipswich Town are still in the FA Cup. We feared it may not be the case.
Ball number one tonight.
They should be.
By the time people listen to this, we may know who Ipswich may or may not be playing in the second round of the FA Cup.
That's always so strange, isn't it? There could be like four teams involved in this little quadrangular competition to play each other at the end of November. Very exciting. We're going to get on to the Lincoln City draw in a moment, which is, of course, why Ipswich are still in the FA Cup. But this week, we are going to start with some correspondence from abroad.
Ooh.
Peter McLeod has been in touch from Amsterdam.
Ooh.
A regular listener, one of my favourite cities. Ross, one of your favourite cities?
Yes, very much.
Just made
I've only been once, though. So.
Just made a gesture that suggests you've had some fun there in the past.
Yes.
Peter is in Amsterdam and has emailed to tell us that we crack him up, which is good. But he's also sent a 9-point plan for how we could maybe improve a little bit.
Okay.
And I think it would be good for us just to go through that plan now, a bit of self-reflection, and maybe act on some of these things. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Feedback is always good.
It is good.
Is it fair?
Yeah. And I wouldn't say all 9 points. I wouldn't say all 9 points of the plan are kind of advice related, but I like them all nonetheless. Point one, this is for me and you, Stu. Apparently, it is sometimes hard to tell Andy and Stuart's voices apart. Before they speak, can they please say their names?
Yeah.
So do it. Stuart.
Stuart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Andy. I think we'll try and do that more often. Do you think we sound the same?
There are a lot of similarities about us that we discover on a daily basis. I wasn't aware that voice was one of them.
Ross, do we sound the same?
No, I don't think so.
Just boring
and
monotone.
I'm with you all the time, so maybe...
And generally you can see us to see who's talking, which helps as well.
It's pretty, yeah.
Maybe we'll try and Well, one of us could put on an accent.
We could blindfold Ross for a day in the office and just see if he can recognise.
We'll let you know how that goes next week. Two, this one's for you, Ross, and is also about voices.
Oh, God.
Please ask Ross to answer the following questions in his best Suffolk accent.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Who is the president of Russia?
Vladimir Putin.
Correct. It's not really a yes or no answer. It's not correct. It's not about that. What is the name of the bench you sit on in a church?
A pew?
Correct.
Pew.
It's pronounced poo. What is the moisture you see on the grass in the morning?
I don't know, actually. Should I know this?
You probably should.
I should.
Stu, help him out.
Do, boy.
Oh, do. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
There we go. Point three, he listens to the pod avidly via Spotify, but it doesn't have the facility to leave a rating.
Oh.
For the record, it would be 5 stars.
That's
on Spotify, that is. They need to sort themselves out there. He suggests we never, ever write down the friend of the show numbering because our inability to numerate our greatest supporters is very funny.
Number 5.
It doesn't matter. I like it. What else have we got here? Number 5, you mentioned under 23 player called Tommy Hughes. He suggests that that is, in fact, a correct name for a footballer. None of this Jake or Callum rubbish or double-barreled family names.
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tommy Hughes. Could have played in the 50s, couldn't he?
Yeah.
With Ginger Hoskins. And other such football stars.
He's got three sort of first names, isn't he? Tom, Tommy, Thomas. So
versatile.
Yeah.
Can you think of the most poorly named footballer? He starts with Owen Archdeacon.
Who did he play for?
I'll get back to you on that one. Let me have a quick look. Owen Archdeacon. He was a 90s player, I know. I think he was a striker.
The most poorly named footballer. What, just trying to think of something as flowery as possible, is that?
He was Scottish and played for Celtic, Barnsley, Carlisle and Greenock Morton as a winger.
I don't know if there's a particular Ipswich player poorly named. I don't know.
We'll get back to you on that one.
He tried the Folklore podcast. Never again, he says. Well, fair play for you for trying. And if you're listening, Shadowy Archant Figures, that's one to your listener figures through brought to you through the Kings of Anglia podcast.
You're welcome.
Exactly. Number 8, Facebook sees that he follows Ipswich Town and its software suggests that he might also like to follow Norwich City. Again, that this isn't on us. This Spotify, you're taking shots at Spotify and Facebook here. Mm. He says bollocks to that. And
yeah, it's their complicated algorithms that no one quite understands.
Yeah, we'll try and have a word with Zuckerberg on that one, shall we?
Yeah, yeah.
And last, what characteristic or mannerism do you each find most annoying about each other? He's just chucked a little grenade in it. Just chucked a grenade in it at number 9.
Ross looks like he's ready.
No, actually, I don't know. I don't know.
Just a tirade comes out from nowhere.
Start of a rant here, yeah. It's my moment to shine.
Should we tackle this one another time when Mark's here?
Yeah.
Maybe we could chuck that in as a nice discussion point at some point.
Yeah, we'll save that up our sleeve for another week.
Because there are things.
Is there?
Yeah.
Plenty for me, apparently.
No. There's always things. You're lying to yourself if other people don't annoy you now and again with little things.
That's true.
Lincoln. 1-1. We'll have a proper discussion about the team and what side Lambert chose to put out for that game in a moment. But should we just chat through the game quickly? What did you make of what you actually saw? Obviously, 10 changes is a big part of this narrative, but we'll tackle that one in a moment. But the actual game itself?
Very similar to a lot of other games in that Ipswich didn't get going till the second half, which is becoming a bit of a theme. I don't know whether that was because of the number of changes and it took a while for essentially a team of strangers to kind of get their chemistry going. But it's been happening in the league as well. Deserved to be behind at half-time. Thought that there was a hint of offside about the goal. We both did it at the time, but watching it back, the ball does go backwards.
You were pretty sure it wasn't at the time, though. You were happy that it was not offside at the time, weren't you?
My instinct was that the ball might have gone backwards or square. Mm. So anyway, that that was one of the few decisions that the referee and his officials did get right on the day. Ref was poor first half, but that wasn't the reason that Ipswich Town were behind. Second half, a lot better. The tactical tweak, a subtle tactical tweak with Andre moving inside and Dobra moved wide right, and it went from a kind of a 4-4-2 to a 4-2-3-1, more of that sort of system. That probably helped, and Ipswich were a lot better second half, and obviously the penalty is the turning point, the penalty save. And that was a huge roar when that penalty was saved, and you thought at that point Ipswich had got a chance here, and they go and score and could have potentially won that game.
What was it, four minutes, something like that, between the penalty save? It's a poor penalty, wasn't it? But between that and the goal, you did think that after that there was only one winner, really, apart from there were a couple of moments where Miles Kenlock in particular had to scamper back to save a replay.
On that subject, Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Kenlock, has he changed your opinion at all based on Saturday's performance?
No, because he only woke up after on the last 25 minutes.
Okay. So
not for me.
Okay.
You know, well done your assist, mate, but not for me. Still not for me. So left back needed in January. So there you go.
Okay. He was all right, to be fair.
I think going forward he's okay. Like, he had a few chances to score, but just, he said he had sometimes when he's trying to get back, he's not very good. I feel like he just runs like chicken. So
when he's trying to get back, that is when you get to see the full run.
Yeah.
When he's scampering back like that. Yeah. So you must quite enjoy that side of his game.
Yes.
Doubling down on that. I like it, Ross. Stick to it.
Yeah, good man. The penalty, Toto. We'll talk about Toto a bit more later, but not quite in the same league as the Accrington one, was it? But still, he's put his body in a place, given the referee a chance to make the decision.
I have to be honest here, and to be fair to Toto, and our prior confrontation has been documented on this, but I have to be fair to him and say that maybe his reputation clouded my initial judgment and has perhaps done that with others, because immediately you see Toto, penalty, ref points to the spot, and you think, again. Because this isn't the first time that he's given away penalties in games. The Accrington one obviously is fresh in the mind, but there have been other occasions where rash tackles have led to costly free kicks or penalties, either for the first team or the 23s. But it wasn't as bad as I first thought when I watched it back, and I think the striker or Hesketh made a meal of it. Clumsy, but not as clumsy as the Accrington one. But he gives referees a decision to make with those sort of, you know, he goes into everything fully committed in the box, and I think you have to sense danger in the box and you have to dial those sort of things down, and he goes dashing into it, and you're going to give, if you give the striker any reason to feel some contact, you're going to give the referee a decision to make, and I think that's where Toto just needs to be a little bit more cuter with the way he tries to attack balls in the box.
This one happened at a bit higher speed than the Accrington one for me. Like, it took less of a contact, whereas the one at Accrington, he was behind play so much, but this one, maybe a fraction. And you're right, the winger did make a meal of it, but if you're sticking your limbs out, like you say, you've given the referee a decision to make there, sadly. But sadly, well, not sadly, happily, didn't matter. And a poor penalty, should have scored the rebound, but a decent stop from Norris. And 4 minutes later, Andre Dizel has curled one into the back of the net. And we go.
I read a report on the Lincoln website, and I've seen suggestions elsewhere that was a cross. I'm giving him full benefit for that. And he said to you in his interview afterwards, didn't he, I was screaming at Kenlock, pull the ball back, because I knew exactly where I wanted to put it. Wasn't quite top corner, but it was very much in the side placed netting, wasn't it?
I'll be honest, my reaction at the time was that it was a cross, but I watched it back and it isn't. It definitely isn't. I was, at the time, I thought there might be shades of crossing about it, and I didn't ask him about it because he'd already done a prior interview next to me where that question was asked. So I didn't blot my card by suggesting to him that it might have been a cross, but no. Having seen it back, it was a really well placed, just inside the post, wasn't it? Crept inside. And we're going to have a chat about Andre a bit later as well, because this was a rare opportunity for him to have a
He was the only player on the field who featured in those 2017 games.
Carrying the can.
Yeah.
Carrying the burden.
I think he started the 2-2 and then he came on for the last 15 minutes of the infamous night at Sintel Bank.
And am I right in saying Chambers and Skews would be the only other two that could really be involved? I doubt they'll play in the replay.
No one left from Lincoln that featured in those games. And obviously Freddie Sears is injured. Mm. So, yeah, Luke and
Cole. Both managers gone. Just leaves the fans. The fans are always the ones left behind to bear these crosses, aren't they, and right these wrongs. They didn't manage it at Accrington to right that wrong, but they can properly right the wrong in a replay at Sintel Bank. What was our gut feeling right now over that replay?
I thought it was a bit unnecessary. I've kind of written the piece I did yesterday thinking 10 changes was too much. And if they had a league game on Tuesday night off the back of this, I'd get it, because promotion is priority A, B, C, D, E. It's everything this year, because we've seen that if you don't go up first time, I think every year it gets harder and harder to get back. So I get that, but I just think the schedule that Ipswich find themselves in at the moment, they've just had a 10 day break recently. They've now got a fortnight to their next league game. I didn't really see the need to make 10 changes. 5, 6? Yeah, you know, there's guys there that need game time. But I just thought if, say, for example, they'd have played Luke Chambers / Wolfenden at the back, you had Downs in midfield, and then you had, say, Norwood / Jackson up front, that would have been a really good first team hardened spine to the side, and I think that would have tipped the balance in Ipswich's favour, because I thought Lincoln were okay, but you know, they're struggling for goals at the moment, they're struggling for points. If Ipswich have just played a half and half team, I think they'd have got through that tie, and now they've got the thing they didn't want, which is a replay, which is going to come 3 days before the home game against Blackpool. So it's going to deny Paul Lambert a week on the training field leading up to that one. It's going to be a late night back on Wednesday. All of those things are going to sort of just chip away at the chances of winning that Blackpool game. I just think there's going to be some of the first team players are going to become a bit, going to lose some of their sort of match momentum and match sharpness to it. But I don't know. It's easy to sit here and say in hindsight, isn't it?
The thing that I don't disagree with you. I probably don't feel quite as strongly about it being the wrong call to make those changes. But the one thing that has irritated me, and I think was a misjudgment, is not putting James Norwood, or having named him on the bench, having got back into the game, having been chasing it. You knew that if you didn't score again, the replay was coming. Why has James Norwood been given 4 minutes at the end of the game? Like, you've named him on the bench. You're clearly willing to put him on the field. I'd have had him on. I think I said to you at the game, I'd have had him on the second that Will Norris saved that penalty. I'd have had James Norwood on. The crowd are whipped up. The sight of him coming on whips them up even further. As it was, they did manage a goal 4 minutes later. But I'd have had him on. I'd have had him on straight away to try and avoid that replay. But a replay it shall be. What's your gut feel? If I had to ask you right now, is it going to happen again? Or are we going through to round two?
Well, I think he'll play virtually that same sort of team for Wednesday night and save his best team, inverted commas, if indeed we do know what the best team is, for the Blackpool game. I don't know. I fear we might have the same.
I think it's going to extra time this time. Does go to extra time, doesn't it?
I think
it's going to go to extra time, and there'll be a winner in extra time. That's Michael. What do you reckon, Ross?
No, we're going to lose in normal time. Is Dazelle in doubt? Because it's technically international break, isn't it?
That technically ends on the Tuesday.
Okay.
Is that why they're playing it on the Wednesday?
Yeah, that sounds that way. Yeah,
because it's
outside the break,
and
I'm led to believe that even if it wasn't, that they would have played it this time anyway. They wouldn't have postponed this.
Let's be honest, it wouldn't have been a good look for Ipswich to try and post, having made 10 changes for the first match, to try and postpone the replay because of a handful of international call-ups.
Yeah, not the greatest.
It looked a bit silly, wouldn't it?
I'm just quickly looking up the under-20s fixtures because I'm not sure when their second game is, but whether, because you'd want... The thing about these international breaks, they really frustrate me because Dazelle, now I really want to watch him play again. He had a good second half. I want to see him play in this Colchester game on Tuesday night. But once again, he's not around. He'd have had another... That's three starts he's missed out on because he's been with England. And I get that there are real benefits of being with England. Well, then certainly not going to be playing in this game, actually, because they're meant to be playing against Iceland, on the Tuesday night. So if André Dizel plays on the Tuesday, for him and Flynn Downs won't be playing in the replay. So
they haven't to link them, will they?
No. So we shall see about that one. Any other thoughts coming out of the FA Cup weekend? Ross?
You know, Will Norris has proven that he is a penalty king, saver and stuff, because when he signed, that's one of the attributes he had. So
he can score them as well.
Oh.
Maybe that will get put to the test at Lincoln.
Ooh. Why not?
We shall see. The draw's tonight, 7 p.m. As you've already said, Stu, we may well know who Ipswich have got by the time you're listening to this. The draw's being done at Chichester, the team given a bye through to round two. Who would you like? What kind of tie?
I want Maldon and Tiptree.
Where?
There.
Yeah? Have you been there before?
I've played there, my friend.
Oh,
many.
Hello.
Yeah.
What happened?
Won a cup final there.
Did you? You've lifted silverware there.
Yeah, don't like to talk about it. No, it was like a Sunday league sort of cup final many years ago. But I just think that would be fun, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm all about. That kind of tie. Chichester, be happy with that.
Yeah.
Maldon, happy with that.
I say there. I'm sitting here saying that would be fun now, just throwing that out there willy nilly. The reality of it, you know, the potential embarrassment and the changes that he's made for this tie, that had the potential to really derail a season, doesn't it?
But that jeopardy adds to the fun, doesn't it? Doesn't that feed into the whole thing? I love that. I'm probably, you know, that's just what gets me going. I am probably sadistic. It really gets me going. The potential for huge embarrassment just excites me, both in my personal life and... and in this,
well, this sort of promotion race is going to be a real test of nerve as much as ability. I think Ipswich have got the ability in their squad, but it's going to be as we get to the latter stages. It's a lot of this is going to be about mental strength, and you know, that would be a real test of mental strength with all eyes on. And if it was a TV game, you know, so let's put them through a little test like that and see if they can come through it.
What kind of tie are you after, Ross?
Dover, maybe.
Dover?
Yeah, they beat Southend.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. I don't really want Chichester, because I can't really say it properly, so... if we do get there, I'm trying to do voiceovers and just chat on a podcast about it, and just in public.
Just take it in stages, mate.
Chichester. No, I just can't.
Chichester.
Chichester.
Nailed it. There we go.
Just, yeah. Maybe, it'd be great to play them because we've never played them before and at their place. But
you're okay with Dover.
Dover.
You've got that locked down.
Dover. Maldon, Tiptree, easy.
Easy. Easy peasy.
But yeah.
That's a good goal, isn't it?
From Jordan Slew.
Yeah.
Jordan Slew was knocking about in, like, he's played against Ipswich for Blackburn, I think, and Sheffield United he was at as well. He's only 27. Yeah, great goal. And the Maldon fans were going absolutely mad, weren't they? Of course they were.
Rightly so.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. The magic of the FA Cup has been in full force this weekend, both at Portman Road and at Brisbane Road. I completely forgot at the top of this that we haven't spoken about the Rochdale game, and I've written it down on my little pad, talk about Rochdale, and I just skipped it. I ignored it. Ipswich won 1-0 at Rochdale, the last league game, since we recorded our last one. Danny Rowe with the goal, top of the table. What are your overriding memories of that game a week ago, Bonfire Night?
Yeah, my overriding memories of that is that we nearly got hit by a firework on our way into the ground. We sort of we couldn't park in the usual car park because they were using it for Bonfire Night. So we parked on a road, didn't we? And then we walked down this back alley, and somebody's garden fireworks decided to go off at the very moment we walked past their fence, which frightened the life out of us, it's fair to say. My other abiding memory of the night is a toilet incident.
Oh, don't.
If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about an embarrassing moment involving Andy throwing a cup of coffee all over one of the backroom members of staff.
Tea.
Of Gillingham. Well, he surpassed himself on this evening. We got there after the long journey, and I said to Andy, I'm just going to go find a toilet before we get set up. And he went, yeah, I need to go as well, actually. I'll come with. Not like that. And so off we went. And unbeknownst to Andy, I turned left down the corridor and he turned right. He thought I was still behind him. And he got to the door of the toilet and heard someone over his shoulder, assumed it was me, and said, "Follow me in here, young man." Turned round and it was a member of the Rochdale staff. Did you clarify that statement any further?
No. I think oh dear. It all went, it was all a blur, mate. Mm. My life flashed in front of my eyes. You don't say that kind of thing, especially in the north. And I kind of said, you're not who I thought. And I just went into the cubicle. Was that an acceptable way to deal with it?
No. And
I didn't know what to do.
What you don't know is that this then got worse. Because I then came back down the corridor, found the toilet, walked in. The cubicle door was shut. I assumed that you was in there and shouted out, I don't know how to word this, I won't use the word that I used, but I said, "Stop masturbating, we've got work to do." I then went back into the press room and you was in there, and my heart sank that I realised that it wasn't you in there, and it must have been the same guy that you invited into the toilet. So God knows what they think of the Ipswich Town press pack.
Oh no. They could draw Rochdale in the next round of the FA Cup, couldn't they?
I don't know who he was, but he had an official coat on.
Oh dear. There's no real defence to it. There's no real defence to this. We didn't see him again over the course of the evening, which is probably good.
The game, should we talk about the game instead?
Let's talk about the game.
1-0, always 1-0, always away from home.
Danny Rowe this time, that's the different variable. His first Ipswich Town goal, stealing in to beat the goalkeeper to the ball and knock it into the back of the net. Job done. 3 points. Your thoughts, sirs?
What did you think, Russ?
Wasn't the greatest game to watch as a...
No.
No, on pitch side. Good for Danny Rowe to get his first goal. Do you know what? I didn't mind Spotland as a stadium. It wasn't that bad.
I liked it. Yeah. I've always enjoyed my trips.
Yeah, nice pie. Had to get, Warren Page, the photographer, had to go at half-time and get a pie. I was going to get one myself, but he sort of went, "Get one too, yeah?" Okay. So, but I had to go the whole round the ground to get it because everywhere was busy. But then a steward went to me and went, so I said, "Oh, do you know where I can get pie?" He went, "Go around a corner. It's never busy. Just go there." So, straight away when I got there.
Straight in. Inside knowledge. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it because we're not welcome back there ever again. So, I was going to ask you about pitch side stuff, Ross. Mm-hmm. That's where you are for games. Can you really see what's going on? Because you, like, not the front row is bad enough, but you're kind of more than the front row.
Yeah.
Can you, like, say something's going on? You're normally behind a goal.
For basically, like, Toto's penalty incident, I didn't see that at all. So I just saw a player fall down, referee blew the whistle. Oh, penalty. Okay. Sit up, try to get the shot of the penalty. But most of the time, not really. It depends, of course, what end I'm at. Like, the other end, can't see anything, really, because there is normally, like, a little hill.
Yeah,
a little dip, and so I'm like, trying to look over.
You ever in the pits? Do you get in?
No, I'm not a fan of that, really. I don't know how... I've never gone in there before, so I don't know how...
They're
works.
They're quite deep, aren't they? Yeah. I think I would genuinely...
You're
not much
well.
Taller than me, Ross.
No,
but
so...
I think if I was in there, I would struggle.
It wouldn't be a good view, really. I'd have my little stool.
Have you got a little stool? Photographers do have their little stools, don't they?
I do have one, but I always forget it. it's always when I walk back in, I was like, oh, I knew I forgot this. And it's just waiting on my stairs just for me to pick up to take. But every time I'm getting picked up or leaving, I just forget about it. I'm like,
do you want me to message you before games? Stool.
Basically.
Third
game.
But anyway, actually, we digress. We are going to talk about the Rochdale game briefly. It's a long time till the next league game, but that does leave Ipswich top of League One for now. Whether they are going into their next league game against Blackpool, we'll wait and see. But back-to-back away wins is nothing to be sniffed at.
No. What was that, 5-1-0 wins on the road now? The away form is really impressive, given we've been talking a lot about how the visit of Ipswich is a bit of a scalp for teams and they're going to raise their game. Was it a vintage performance again? No. Very scrappy first half, better second half. Again, we're talking about a little tactical tweak that he just swapped Rowe and Judge wings. He moved Rowe onto the left, Judge onto the right, and Danny Rowe, first half, had kind of been running into dead ends and getting crowded out, and all of a sudden he was starting to go past people, go inside, and it was fitting that he got the goal, really, because I thought he had quite a good game. So,
and a decent display from Judge as well, building on a decent cameo at Southend. And afterwards, he was very honest about his own form. Perhaps a little harsh to describe his own form as being shit. In those words,
by his standards, yeah, the high standards that he set himself as an international footballer, someone that pre-injury was heading to the Premier League, someone that we held up to be the fulcrum of the side, and you know, everyone was really excited when they signed him. He hasn't been anywhere near those sort of standards at the start of this season, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, that he's got other stuff going on behind the scenes. He had the QPR interest, his daughter's undergoing various operations, but he looks like he's in a better place at the moment. Mm. So the Southend cameo, and then the Rochdale game, he's looked a lot more like his old self. He looked lively.
Mm, sounds in a good place off the pitch as well. I think his daughter's had one of the two stages of the operation that she needs, settled in a house just outside of Ipswich. Family love it, and that's so important, isn't it? And hopefully now that can be a base for him to come on strong. And in his words, I'd rather have got this level of form out of the way now and be Alan Judge that we know for the run-in, which is the business end where things can get done. Hopefully he's right on that one. I think we talked about football long enough. Mark's not here, but he is here because he sent us a little message and he's got Mark's big question.
Mark's big question. Question.
All right, boys, hope you're all okay on this fine Monday morning and the pod is straight fire thus far. I join you from the beautiful Peak District, where we're here for a week walking. It's cold and it's wet, but the scenery is fantastic. You're never more than a mile away from a pub, and at this time of year, they've got the fires going, so it's spot on. Anyway, boys, down to business. Mark's big question this week. Hutchie has already pre-selected question number 19, which is, what are you really, really bad at? Now, if I was answering this question, my answer would be maths. I suck at maths. Numbers are not my thing at all. Geography, as the boys learned last week, when I claimed that Rochdale was in Yorkshire. But the main thing I'm really, really bad at is anything practical with my hands. DIY, chief among it. Ask my wife. I am a disaster. I can put up curtain poles and kind of drill things into the wall, but after that, you're looking at a major cost if I get involved and drill or dig holes. You're absolutely best off paying for someone who knows what they're doing. So, boys, what are you really, really bad at? Have a good rest of the pod. I look forward to listening to your answers, and I'll see you again next week.
He's happy, isn't he? He's in his happy place.
Yeah.
Once a year, he goes on his little pilgrimage to the Peak District.
Mark Benson there, shaking his collar and panting in the background.
Walking the hills.
What you might have also heard is Ross giggling in the background there, because at the point that Mark said being good with his hands, Andy did a childish gesture and that was it. Ross is gone.
Yeah, and then Mark talked about drilling. which is when Ross was really.
Come on,
really
we're better gone. Than that, boys. We're are, better than
are
that.
We childish.
Though?
Are we
very
though?
Childish.
So what are we? What are we? What are we awful at, other than being adults?
What am I awful at?
Good question.
Asking myself questions.
No, you're really good at that.
Yeah, I'm bad for doing it.
I like it. I want more of it.
What are you bad at?
Dancing. I've got no moves. I'm really awkward. I was a dad dancer before I was even a dad, which means I'm well qualified for where I'm at in life now. I'm just appalling. I've got no confidence, which, as we know from football, confidence is everything. And I've got nobody to give me confidence. So how am I gonna find my feet? I don't know, but I just can't dance.
I bet Ross has got some moves.
He definitely has.
Yeah, Sasha sort of don't have any, but I can bust a move when I need to.
What's your best move?
I do basically when the bass about to drop, put my hand up and then drop.
And then you drop. Yeah.
I get nice. Really, really into it. So.
I'm very handsy. When I dance, like
jazz
lots,
hands.
Of arm, lots of arms flying around really? To try and distract from the fact I can't move my feet.
I'm the complete opposite. Top, nothing in the top half, waist up is moving, arms almost sort of glued to the side, but then it's just sort of a bit of a shuffle technique going on. Sort of.
What did you do for your first dance at your wedding?
I just did the awkward shuffle, and then at the earliest possible opportunity, you do the frantic sort of waving to get everybody on.
Had you spoken to people before then to try and just to make sure that they were very quickly going to come on? I did that. I went round and enlisted. There were three or four lads that were like, their job for the day was to just to get on there as soon as I'd finished kind of trying to trip my wife up. Awful. Awful. Some people do the dance routines and stuff, don't they, at their weddings, which I accept is probably better than what I manage, but it's not for me.
No. What else are we bad at? I think Mark saying about maths and numbers, generally journalists are no good at maths. You've seen us, I sometimes go into a bit of a stats hole, don't I, in the office.
Then you're gone for an hour.
Yeah. My dad's an accountant. He's very disappointed that I can't do anything with numbers.
But between you, you've got it all covered. Yeah. You're the words man. He'll do you a number. He'll produce some numbers, or what accountants do. And between you, you're in business. Ross, what are you bad at?
One key element in life is cooking. Cook my own food. I'm not a very good cook. Sasha moans at me all the time. But the weird thing is, when I was 12, I wanted to be a chef. So,
did you not do an awful lot to try and follow that dream then?
I did an apprenticeship, being a chef for
did
a
you?
Year. Yeah, for a year. Wow. Or more of like a work experience, like 2 weeks. I would go there for 2 weeks while I was at school and then do the rest.
Where did you go for that?
Suffolk New College. So, and a week into it, I knew that I didn't want to do it. I had to stand up. And I was thinking, why am I cooking for other people? I'd rather cook for myself.
Because you had to stand up, did you just say? That's why you couldn't be a chef.
No, I just wasn't that good either. So. But now I'm 23 years old, still not very good at cooking. But I've improved.
But at least you caught it early.
Yeah.
And you didn't like stand up for a year and then just be... So it's very much seated jobs. You want a job where you can sit down.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind, you know, standing occasionally. You know, photography, sometimes I have to, from non-league grounds, you just stand somewhere. But
ideally, you'd be on your little seat, which you forget.
Yeah. So I have to sit on my bottom and get a bit wet.
What's your best/worst dish?
I don't know. Man, go on.
You haven't got a best one or a worst
one? Not really.
What have you cooked? What's the last thing you cooked?
Pasta bake, if that counts as cooking.
I'd say it counts as cooking.
Yeah, but, you know, made my own sauce with it, of course, the pasta, and then added a few vegetables and stuff. So yeah, okay.
Nice. I've thought of something that all three of us in this room are bad at, and I've witnessed it many a time. We're all pathetically indecisive. we go, when we're away in Germany and we order food, or when we've been on the road... We do that panic thing where the waiter or waitress comes over and says, "Are you ready to order?" The correct answer would be no. Can we have some more time? But obviously, it's a very British thing to go. Yeah, I think I could be if you come to me last. And then one of us makes a panic decision, order something that we didn't really want, and then the other two invariably go, yeah, same, please.
I'll have the same, please. The stupid thing is, I'm okay. Well, if you think we're pathetic, my wife is awful in a restaurant.
You think we're pathetic, Andy's wife.
She's awful in a restaurant. She knows it. Yeah, she's no good. So in that situation, I step up.
Yeah.
I help her. I make my decision early because I know that I'm going to have to get involved down the line with hers. So I make my decision, stick with it, go with it, and then I help her with the process. But when I have to do it for myself, I just crumble.
See, I think I take on that leadership role when it's the three of us. I quite often will be the first to jump in.
I've been working on that recently, which is why I ate nothing at the OK Diner the last time we went there.
Yeah, no, I was impressed. You promised me that you were not going to order, and you didn't, and you stuck by your word. Well done.
And I had my third Coke float in a fortnight, having not had one for 10 years. That's my thing now.
You sat and watched me eat a big porker.
Yeah, I did actually. And what did Warren and Barry have? A couple of breakfasts at 4 o'clock. Of course you did. We've done some food reviews of the OK Diner, which I think we might unleash at some point. They maybe need a bit of editing.
Mm.
Mine certainly does. Because we did them like off the cuff. We both just were doing them silently in the car. Mike Bacon's ringing me. Probably has anybody told him that we're here?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's probably wondering where we are. He hasn't been on this for ages, has he? The big porker himself. It's almost when you mentioned it, he just rang. Anyway, where was I?
I can't remember.
Okay, let's move on. What's next?
We'll save the food review for when Mark's here, because he's Mr. Foodie. So
this is a different establishment to where he usually reviews, isn't it?
Mm.
Three players that I was really interested in, back to the football, heading into the game at the weekend. We kind of knew they were going to play. Three defenders coming in from the cold, very rarely involved in league football. And that's Toto Nsiala, we've talked about him a bit already. Janoi Dinassian. And Miles Kenlock. These three, on the fringes, what does the future hold, do you think, for these three men? What is their arc, their Ipswich Town arc, from this point forward? Who do you want to start with?
I turned to you during the game and said, is Miles Kenlock out of contract next summer? And then you looked it up and he signed a...
Three-year
deal at the start of this year.
How? Why? Whose idea was that?
So Ross thinks that was a good idea. He's locked down. He's got 3 years on his contract here.
Jesus.
I think both for him and Janoi as fullbacks, the fact that when there have been injuries in those positions, that they still haven't been called upon. You know, two players for every position. So you know, when your right back gets injured, your backup one steps up, but. Instead, with Vincent Young out, we've had Gwion Edwards at right back. I think that's pretty much writing on the wall territory for Janoi Dinassian, isn't it?
It's difficult, isn't it? He did okay, actually, in this game, didn't he? He was solid enough, and yep. I would hope he'd play again on Tuesday. But that did seem like something of a statement, didn't it, to play a winger, he is a winger, and a left winger at that, in his own mind. To play him at right back, that felt like a statement.
Gwion did all right at Rochdale. We didn't really mention that in the Rochdale thing, but we all had fears about that because I thought his right back cameo at Accrington wasn't good, but I thought he was better at Rochdale. First half, they really targeted him, Rochdale, and saw it as a bit of a weak link, but second half, I thought he got to grips with right back a lot more. He used his pace to get himself out of danger. He made a lot more tackles than he had done previously. So... But yeah, I get the feeling that sort of Janoi's minutes are going to be sparse and that he'll probably be playing for his future elsewhere when he does get those minutes.
It feels like, and I don't mind him. He is what he is. He's a right back and not a lot else. And that's sometimes what you need. But the way that Lambert has talked about what position he can play on the pitch in terms of he's a centre back and now all of a sudden he's... back of right back, and it feels like from the very beginning he may have been one that a decision he had work to do from the very second that Paul Lambert, who he kind of was a young player at Aston Villa when Lambert was the manager there, he's had an uphill climb since he won that starting slot at right back in the summer, but they clearly wanted to bring somebody in, which they've done with Kane, Vincent Young, and the two just don't compare in an attacking sense, do they?
No. No. So Vincent Young will hopefully be fit for the Blackpool game. He's the one that's kind of benefited from this strange schedule at the moment, because hopefully you won't miss too many league games, but it's hard to see Genoi sort of getting the Ipswich Town career back on track. Kenlock, I thought he had a good game, Ross. I have to say, I thought he did okay. I know the goal came from down his side, and I know that will probably be seen as his Achilles heel in terms of positionally, defensively, there can be issues there with him. But right at the end of the game, he made a bit of a lung-bursting recovery run and managed to shepherd a guy out of play from a dangerous position. He dragged that shot wide. I thought he was given the lack of game time recently. I thought he did okay. Is he the long-term solution to Ipswich's left-back problems? Probably not. I mean, he's 21, 20. How old
Might
is he
even
now?
Be 22. Older than that? 22? Yeah, he's a year older than a few of them. I think the fact that he's the only kind of full-time left-back on the books, and he's not playing in the league, and I think the fact that Garbutt's ahead of him at left back, when we probably think that he's not actually a stay at home standard traditional left back himself anyway, almost similar to Danasian in that regard. Whether it's Garbutt or somebody else, I think they'll bring in somebody else. But he could. There's no reason why. You right there, Ross? Just got a four pack of strong mints out. Gonna bosh them off. There's no. You keep that rustling going there, mate. That's
there we go.
I don't think there's any reason why he can't be a serviceable backup option as a backup left back for the duration of that contract. I don't. But as a frontline starter, 46 league game man, probably not.
Mm.
Then there's Toto,
who finished last season pretty well, despite the relegation. I thought he got better as last season went on, and you were thinking a year in the Championship, a bruising year mentally for him, but he'll have learnt a few lessons, and then he comes back to League One, a level that he's proven to have been a very solid player in, finished third with Shrewsbury. You're thinking this might be his level. We know that he's got some flaws to his game in terms of giving away those free kicks and things like that, but he's solid. He wins his battles. He can be okay on the ball at times, and then he goes and does his hamstring in pre-season, and this is where the issue has come with Toto, and he will be kicking himself because the whole narrative surrounding him changed because of that, and it was just clearing a ball so innocuous in one of those pre-season games. I can't even remember.
It was at the Interwetten Cup against Fortuna.
Just cleared the ball, hamstring pings. I don't think Lambert and Co were too enamoured with that. That's not the sort of injury I don't think they felt someone should have been getting in pre-season. He's out for ages, and now he's up against it because Wilson's come in, done really well. Wolfenden's taken his game to a whole new level.
Yeah,
Chambers is Mr. Consistent, and yeah, it's going to be hard for him now to get himself back in.
The factors have all kind of combined against him, haven't they? Like, they wouldn't have signed Wilson if he had done that injury, I don't think, because he'd have been fit to go opening day.
Mm.
We thought he would be fine, but we maybe didn't expect Wolfenden to come in and be this good. That's counted against Toto, and it's a long way back when you're fourth in a pecking order, and it looks like maybe Ipswich might be going back to a back four as well. Even the back three door is kind of closing on him when he's fully fit. It's difficult. We will see, though. Hopefully he plays against Colchester as well on Tuesday, because I'd like to see him again. Ross, do you know what time it is? It's time for the thing that everybody tunes in to listen to. Hit the button. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
And the crowd goes wild.
The little red light that says applause is coming up. The crowd love it. The crowd are up. And here he comes.
Clear my throat.
Sparkly jacket.
Yeah.
We've looked into getting one of those, haven't we? For everyday use.
I think I look good on it, to be fair.
Yeah, you're pulling that off?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. Extra. Gold, yeah. Red.
Gold. It's got to be gold, isn't it? My game show host jacket. Same format as always for the strike.
Same.
Of course it is.
Of course. You've got to keep the same structure.
But this is a friendly, yeah? This doesn't count towards anything because Mark's not here.
Yeah, so.
I only win friendlies.
Oh. I only win competitive games. Yeah. I can't get up for these.
Anyway, who am I? It links with Ipswich and Colchester because I'm playing them on Tuesday, tomorrow.
Topical.
Yeah. So clue one. He started his career at Ipswich but made just 13 appearances for Town.
Move on.
He was sent off on his Town debut in 2010 against Sheffield United.
Should know this.
I think I do. Is it Tom Eastman?
It is, correct. The other clue was he has since made over 300 appearances for Colchester since joining them in 2011.
Was the clue after that going to be that he looks like an old man?
No, but that could have been clue four.
That is his nickname amongst footballers. They call him Grandad.
Is it? He does look, and he always has.
It's more to do with his, and I mean, we talked about the Miles Kenlock running style. Tom Eastman's almost got this sort of slightly hunched sort of look about him.
Yeah.
And they call him Grandad, even from like his early 20s, they've always called him Grandad.
I can't believe he made 13 appearances though.
Yeah. Of course, on his debut getting sent off, not a great start for him. The best bit of the strike, of course, is Town flashback. So get ready for some great multiple choice answers. In 2004, Town beat Leeds 1-0 at Porton Road, but who scored the goal for Town? Tommy Miller, Darren Bent, or Chef DiCucci?
B.
I was also going to say Tommy Miller. Is that the right?
Tommy Miller was A.
Oh, I'll say A.
It was Darren Bent.
Yes.
So 2-0. So going back to the 70s, because why not?
Why not?
This links to last week's question, sort of, if you remember that. Remember when it was Liverpool in the next round? This one is...
I don't remember.
No, okay. Okay, you've been to Rochdale back. In 2004, Town beat...
Just done that one. Just established we're going back to the 70s.
I know that you've got these questions on your phone today and not... Are you trying to remove the risk of balding up?
Yeah. And wasting paper. But anyway, in 1973, Town beat Fulham 2-1 in the League Cup third round replay. We had replays in the League Cup back then. But who do they lose in the next round? Birmingham, Wolves, or Man City?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Before Man City became Man City, of course.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I don't know, so I'll say Wolves.
I will say B, which was
Wolves.
Oh, I'll say A.
That's Birmingham. Yeah,
yeah, I'll say Birmingham.
That's correct.
Yes. 3-0. Are you even bothered turning up today?
Still got his go on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hat trick. Dave Johnson. But Dave Johnson, the original Dave Johnson, not the 90s Dave Johnson. But he scored a hat trick as Town beat Coventry City 4-0 at home in 1974. But how many goals did he score in his 178 games for the Blues? 38, 46, 54. Just you see, I've done. Hit an 8 this time.
46.
54.
46.
Yes.
Well done, mate. So you're going up in 8s now.
Well, I'm mixed up a little bit. Last one for Town flashback. In 2000, Town beat Charlton, 2-0 at home in the Premier League. Marcus Stewart racked up the win, scoring the second, but who opened the scoring? Matt Holland, Mark Venus, or Rich Naylor?
Matt Holland.
Naylor.
Matt Holland.
It's a beautiful goal as well. Little twisty turn on the edge of the box, slid it into the bottom corner. Lovely jubbly.
Okay. Hutch is one, but we're going to do a Colchester question, because why not?
Why not?
So if you get it right to do, I'll give you...
You'll only have lost 4-2 instead of 4-1.
So last time Town faced Colchester in a competitive game was in a 2-1 win in the League Cup in 2008, with former Hughes man Kevin Lisby scoring Town second. But who opened the scoring? John Walters, Pablo Canago, or Danny Haynes?
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
What are the options? Walters, Canago, or...
Haynes.
I'll go with John Walters.
Okay.
I will go Pablo.
It was Pablo.
Good guess.
Very good guess.
5-1.
A rout. That is an absolute rout.
That is it.
Easy.
Another edition of the strike done.
Thank you, Ross.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Ross.
And I'll be back next week.
Good. Let's fade out. Have you had any inquiries from media companies over taking this on and sort of bulking it out for TV, that kind of thing?
I'm curious to myself, there's a possibility of a series, so get ready.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On that digital television?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting.
Yes.
Stu?
Yes?
Would you like to sing the mailbag song? Or shall I do it?
I don't mind.
Let's do it together. You
okay.
Ready?
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Mailbag, mailbag.
It's time for Andy, Stu and Ross.
Dip into the mailbag.
Doot, doot.
Yes.
Nailed it. Trio. Barbershop trio. Mailbag. Should we hit that up now?
Yep.
I'll go first. First up, first out the gate is Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Harvey's jumped the gun. He wants to know what the best Christmas film is and
the
why.
The C word.
What is it, November the 11th today? Remembrance Day, and you're asking about Christmas. He says Polar Express all the way, which I've never seen.
Me neither.
That's good. Yeah, good film. Tom Hanks is one of the voices.
Yeah? Is that your favourite Christmas film ever?
I wouldn't say it is, but I do watch it every year, just, you know, with my niece and nephew now, so. Yeah.
I think Elf would be my go-to.
I've never watched Elf all the way through. I've seen bits and fallen asleep in front of it. Which is not a reflection on Will Ferrell. More on my tiredness. Is it good? Is it up there with his... With his best?
I'd say it is.
I think it started him to really get to where his peak of his comedy, I think. Because that's where, like, that's where he was really... Cause he did old school and all that jazz as more of a single character, but when he went in Elf, he was like the main star, weren't he? So, yeah.
And then he went on an unstoppable surge of filmmaking, which has maybe dried up a little bit now. Mm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Are we condemning him to the scrap heap? I don't know.
Anchorman 2 didn't help.
That was so bad, wasn't it?
Mm.
Really bad. Step Brothers is his best, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say that has overtaken Anchorman for me.
Yeah. Good. My favourite Christmas film, for the record, is The Holiday, with Cameron Diaz and Jude Law. I think it's a wonderfully uplifting winter tale, which we can all take something away from. Also got Kate Winslet in it and Jack Black. Thoughts?
Not seen it.
It's lovely. It's been on my Sky Plus planner since the day I got the box, and it lives there forevermore. Lovely film. FBL Tractor asks about making 10 changes for the cup and whether that, and actually not winning the game, but getting a draw against a full strength rival is actually a good sign of squad depth.
Yeah,
which you could certainly argue that side of it. Also wants to know if Dobra is the hashtag Honey Badger with emojis on the pitch.
Another booking for him, wasn't it?
He loves the old make mistake, try to rectify it. Hack a man down, booking.
Mm.
It's a good one to pick up. I quite like watching bookings like that.
I like the fact he's got that bit of fire about him. It'll probably need to be fine tuned as time goes on. But I think you can. I don't think you can teach that. I'd rather a player have it and then learn how to dial it down than not have it. Because I think that it's hard to inject that into someone. So yeah, he's a scrappy little player, isn't he?
Yeah, I really like him. We were talking about him during the game, weren't we, about where his career might go, and we're quite looking forward to seeing what that arc takes for him from from now on. You've watched a lot of Dobra Ross through the age groups. And all
hasn't
that.
Changed.
Has he always been like that?
He's always been like that, and he's always been able to find an eye for goal as well. He's not afraid to shoot from distance. And one thing as well, being pitch side, because I'm so up close to the players, you just see the frustration on like him himself, like getting subbed off. I know he's on a yellow, but it was just so like he looked at his number, he looked back, and he went, "Oh, he didn't want to come off." Basically, because of course he's a young kid, he wants to play as long as possible. Like any player, you don't want to get subbed off, do you? Mm. And he just like strutted back and went, "Oh, you know, I thought more minutes to go." But of course, he's only booking, so of course, yeah. Paul Lamb didn't want to.
You really do get a different view of the game from where you are to what we see, don't you?
Yeah, I literally got hit by the ball.
Did you
on Saturday? Yeah, because. Or basically, oh no, on Rochdale, Paul McShane nearly basically bun right into me because there was a moment where I think Norwood and Paul McShane went into a tackle and Paul McShane just slid and luckily just
oh, was that the, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember when you, I think you turned to me, Stu, and asked, "Who's that lying on the floor over there?" And the answer was Paul McShane, and it could well have been Ross with him.
Yeah, it was me, yeah.
They were having a right old ding-dong, those two, in that game, weren't they?
Yeah.
Peak Norwood.
I've got another touchline question. Well, oh. Emir Hughes as captain, how vocal was he, Russ?
Not really. I can't remember actually hearing him at all. Really, I don't know. Maybe he's just very softly spoken. Is he softly spoken? So maybe I didn't hear him because I've got all the fans behind me.
I can't imagine he's not going to be. He's not a Chambers ranter, chatter, talker, is he? But there's different ways of captaining teams.
Hmm.
He just didn't really get in the box that much, really. He was more just central in the midfield, so he's more a bit further away from me. I think if he was more closer to me, maybe we were attacking more, we had more chances, I think I may have heard him a bit more. But
it's a good stat from you in the Sunday snap about captains. Was that five this season?
Yeah.
Five captains.
Five for the season. I look back through them.
Who are they then? So we've got Chambers,
Skews, and then two EFL trophy captains.
Oh. Who's got Nolan? Did he have it
time? Nolan had it for the Tottenham game. Who's the other one?
Who else?
The Gillingham. This is from the Gillingham game in the EFL Trophy, the Elf Trophy. I type that every time I try and write the name of that thing. I type Elf first.
I don't know. You're gonna have to tell me.
Any guess, Ross? No.
No.
Toto Nciala.
He was captain. Wore the armband. Wow.
And Mr. Renegade Statman, the source of all stat knowledge on Twitter, and on Saturday night, apparently, how many captains do you reckon Mick McCarthy used during his entire reign?
I read this in your piece, so I know the answer.
I'll let Rossi have a guess then.
It must be Edwards, Goss Edwards, Luke Chambers, maybe another Cole Scoosme at one point. Maybe another. Four?
Eight.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, but I think that includes like the
old Murphy as well.
I think Bart, Bart was captain under Mick for one game at one point. I saw Dean Gherkin yesterday. I'm convinced I saw Dean Gherkin yesterday, actually, on the subject of him. In my rearview mirror. I was driving back from Felixstowe, went there with a little girl Sunday morning, and I was indicating out from behind a bus and looked round in my rearview mirror. There was a flat-capped man in a big white Audi. Like Dean Gherkin, I think, and flat cap and a white Audi kind of add up to Dean Gherkin in my mind, so I'm convinced that was him. He was very impatient, very, very impatient, because this bus kept stopping down Foxhall Road like every 30 or 40 metres. He was not happy about the amount of time the bus was stopping for one passenger. Anyway, moving on. Christian Davis, the depth of quality in our squad, is it a fact or a myth? I know we keep talking about it, but taking the blue specs metaphorically, in brackets, he doesn't own blue specs, off. Are they really that good? Personally, I'm not convinced by a few of them.
Goes back to what one of the previous comments in Mailbag, the fact that Ipswich, you can flip it on its head and say the fact that Ipswich could change their entire team and still draw against a full-strength Lincoln side. Lincoln made one change, I think. Is that a sign that the depth is actually pretty good? The fact that he has been able to rotate four or five players every game and they're still finding ways to win more often than not. I know we started to get a few doubts around the time of the two defeats to Accrington and Rotherham, and that, you know, when the real key players, Norwood, Downs, Vincent Young, were missing, coincided with defeats. But in general, I think, you know, for League One level, and that's, you know, it's a different conversation as and when they may or may not progress. But right at this moment in time, that's that. There's depth to this squad.
That's crucial, isn't it? To remember, we're talking about League One, and we're talking about squad depth. We're not. I don't think you're ever going to have 22 players that are all as good as each other. You have to remember as well that Junoid Anasian was bought to be the first choice right back in the Championship a year ago. Toto Nsiala was bought to be a first choice centre back in the Championship a year ago, and Miles Kenlock started the season as a first choice left back in League One. And if that's your squad depth, even if they are a drop off, and there's always going to be a drop off from a starting 11, that's why they're a starting 11. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But the problem is we're seeing them all kind of one at a time. You're not dropping Junoid Anasian into the starting 11 because we don't know what that is. So I think that all kind of feeds into it, that we still don't have we're still not talking here about a regular starting 11 because we don't know it. Got a lot of chat about Yorkshire puddings on here because Mark posted a picture of a roast dinner to try and rile me. Last night, but I killed him with kindness. I liked his picture. That's the kind of picture that I like. The pin.
Friend of the show. Number two.
I think we got that one right. Yeah, we did. It's right. It was number two. He wants to know if Yorkshire pudding should be banned. You are banned.
You can't ban the pin.
Well, I'm not banning him, but no, just like. You're trying to cause turmoil here, Penny. Yorkshire puddings are great.
I don't know why anyone would say that. Why?
What have they done to him?
It's up there with the best parts of a roast dinner.
Exactly. Which are?
Oh, roast potatoes.
Correct.
The meat.
Yep.
It's all bringing Brussels sprouts. I'm going to throw that out there. Ooh. As well.
That's a one-game ban for the pin. He's banned from a one-game podcast ban.
You're joking?
I'll decide that he can appeal it during the week if he wants before the next one, but as things stand, that's a one-game. That's a one-game podcast. He's allowed to listen. He's not allowed to contribute for a week, because I'm not happy about that. Now, this needs to be sung with gusto, lads, and I need you to get involved, Ross, as well.
Okay.
Nigel G.,
friend of the show.
Number nine.
Welcome to the party.
A first for Nigel G and his big fish. He's at ITFC Honey Badger, regular friend of the show. He thanks us for his friend of the show status. You're very welcome.
You are welcome.
You are very welcome. Have Stu and Andy ever been in a press box with someone from the opposition press that has really annoyed them? Has anyone ever gone full honey badger hashtag with two emojis mode in the press box? I've never seen full honey badger mode from a member of the press, but there were some analysts from Leeds a couple of years ago who were bouncing up and down and getting very excited, weren't they, about refereeing decisions.
I've seen etiquette broken many times in press boxes, and it does irk me, but not to the stage where I would engage full honey badger mode.
So has there been anyone that, probably without naming names, that's really wound you up from memory? There's a member of the National Press.
Go on.
He is an animal-themed man who works for a national sports radio station and supports West Ham, who I will not name because that would be unfair, who winds me up just... But to the point that I love him.
Right, so become a parody of himself.
Yeah, and I...
Does he like to take pictures with his friends?
He may do that, and he...
Does he eat all the food in the press box?
Yeah, he does sometimes take the odd picture of these kind of things, but I'm not going to say who he is, because that would be horribly unfair. I love him and loathe him in equal measure, but he's very annoying.
There was a journalist for a regional newspaper who contacted me to get some comments on Ipswich heading into a game. It was ringing round all the journalists on the reasons why your team could be in the promotion mix, and changed all of my tenses to us and we.
That's irritating.
Yeah, which I I try very hard to kind of, as much as I want Ipswich to win, you have to kind of have a bit of a professional distance and objectivity. So that irked me, and then I saw why, because there was some fairly partisan behaviour from said journalist when I've seen them in press boxes.
What's going on the touchline? Is there any touchline politics?
Yeah. Not I don't get involved, because
that is the best way to be. We've heard a lot about this from veteran photographers. Stay away.
Yeah, Steve has told me some bad stories. So yeah.
There's a lot of beef amongst you snappers, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know why. At the end of the day, find your spot and just take your pictures. You know, you're not going to be in anybody's way. So, but I think some people, they mark their territory and they put their stuff there when that's where I'm sitting. If you go and take my spot, then that's when a fight and a full honey badger could.
You seem far too laid back to be getting involved with any of that nonsense.
Yeah, I just go, like, if someone goes, oh, can I have that spot? I went, yeah, have it. Go, yeah, go.
If you're that good a photographer, you can get a picture from anywhere.
There
just
you go.
Same.
Yeah.
Say that to them next time.
I will.
And then push them into the pit.
Yeah.
Put the lid on. There's some lids for those pits that are in the front row. I think they live in the front row of the stand. You could almost like a photography tomb.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No.
Benjamin Eyrie, you've been asked to show somebody who has never seen a game of football before a highlights compilation package.
Area, we've established that.
Have we? Shrug. Highlights complication of any... Oh, it's like Perrier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Area.
Sorry.
He's wearing a tux in his picture and looks very smart. You've been asked to show somebody a highlights compilation of any modern-day Ipswich Town player. Which player would you choose and why? This is to somebody who's never watched football before. His choice is Ballant Biner.
Larsen Touré corner kick.
Larsen Touré.
Yeah, there's so many different Town players who were.
I think I'd just show somebody that Jonathan Douglas clip.
Oh yeah,
and that.
And Newcastle.
Yeah, just that. This is football.
Well, it's when an alien comes down from space.
I don't think you even see the ball in that clip because it's just going up and down. Yeah, I'll go with that one. What do you reckon, Stu?
I put together a little compilation of Kiefer Moore's substitute appearances at Ipswich, and then go on to point out that man went on to have a couple of big moves off the back of it and is now playing for his country and doing rather well.
It was all just missed flick-ons, wasn't it? At all times.
Yeah.
Just didn't he?
I mean, it didn't help that he was coming on late in games and the game plan didn't suit him and all the rest of it, but... You wouldn't have predicted his career arc off the basis of what we'd seen from that.
Certainly not. Two questions here, from Blue Soap and one from Harry Markham. Both talking about the same subject. This is kind of going back to league stuff, which we've stayed away from today, but having not found the magic formula / consistent, settled side at this stage. Are we still worried about that? Do you remember what the league is, given it's so stop-start at the moment?
Worried by it. In a strange way, I take encouragement from the fact that we're still saying they're not playing that well. They're not producing two halves of football back to back. They've not found their best team, and they're still top of the league. Like if you'd have described this scenario to any of us in the summer, when we're all like, oh, this relegation hangover could take some while to shake off, and you know, we're a little bit fearful going into this league and not quite wondering what it was going to be like. Is that a good thing that they are where they are, or has it got the ability to catch up on them at some point? I don't know.
And that's the beauty of it. I think I'll be really worried about, well, this seems really stupid to say, but if this is still the case come March time, March, April time. I'm fully expecting Ipswich to be in the thick of the promotion battle. If not, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I'm expecting them to be promoted from this point. If they're still there, March and April, which I think they will be, that's the point where I'll be really worried about, or really thinking about, this team needs a style, because that's what's going to get them moving up that championship. But for right now, it doesn't worry me too much, because they're winning games, they're where they need to be. I would hope by the end of the season we'd be having a real look at what we're going to see the following season. But like you said earlier, plans A, B, C, D, E and F are all about, maybe even G, are about winning promotion. So as long as they're winning games, I'm not overly concerned at this stage. One last one. George Lee. A slightly bizarre question. Is it Jonas, as in Jonas Brothers? No, sorry, that would be Jonas. Jonas, as in Jonas Brothers. Or Jonas, as in Yo. And is it Knudsen, as in knee, or Knudsen, as in Knadel?
Well, I always said Knudsen with a silent K, but I am reliably informed it is the correct pronunciation, is indeed Knudsen.
But it's Jonas with a Yo, isn't it?
Is it?
I think.
Again, I've always said that, but I can't tell you that that is correct. Jonas Knudsen just sounds...
It sounds better. Brenner Woolley on BBC Suffolk, very, very firmly on the Knudsen, Knudsen train. And I'm inclined to think that he might be right.
I'm glad we're having this conversation now he plays for Malmo.
It's important. I told you my brother went to watch Malmo recently, didn't I? Did I tell you about that?
I don't know if you've told our listeners.
My brother went to watch Malmo play. I think he was in a Europa League qualifier, I think. So this is going back to August time. Went to watch. He was in Malmo anyway. Went to watch them. Jonas was on the bench, and he ended up sitting next to this old Swedish guy, who's a regular watching Malmo. And I think this guy asked my brother what he was doing there, and he said why, and then he mentioned that he was an Ipswich fan who had watched Knudsen play, and apparently he's not been very good, to put it kindly. According to them. And this was like 2 months after he'd been there. He's playing right, left sided of a back three, which was I think we probably decided was his best position. But yeah, he's not doing so well. That concludes mailbag. Should we quickly talk about Colchester?
Yeah,
very quickly. Colchester in the EFL Elf Trophy, dead rubber for Ipswich. They're through.
It's not dead rubber, Andy.
Tell me. I know what you're going to say.
If you finish top, you get a home tie in the next round. So there's a lot riding on this.
Is that why 2,500 Ipswich fans are going to this game?
Exactly.
Is that why... Do you know how many tickets Colchester have sold for the home end? 300.
2,500 Ipswich.
It's going to be bizarre.
Jesus. Very strange.
I don't think Ipswich have quite... got the memo regarding the boycotting of this competition. But that's just what it is supporting Ipswich at the moment. You want to watch them play, don't you? In Colchester, there's a lot of Essex-based fans. 15 minutes down the A12. Why wouldn't you go? I'd be there. Mm. These kind of games really get me.
Who do you think is going to play then? Given the team that played on Saturday, we're going to see some of the young'uns, aren't we?
I think so. Like Dobra can't play. So he's with Albania already, so he'll come out.
El Mazzuni's a given.
Yeah, definitely. I think my gut feeling is, in terms of young ones, there might be one or two in the starting 11, but I think it could be a very young bench.
Who's going to go in goal then? Do you think Holy's going to go in
goal? Yeah, I think he'll give Holy a game in goal, do we think?
Yeah. Although, is it completely out of the question that he pretty much puts an under-23s team out, and that also includes the goalkeeper as well. It's got to be Holy, isn't it?
I think so. You do need four players in that starting 11 outfield that are senior players to hit the criteria. So I think that criteria will probably be hit by Danasian and Ciala and Kenlock, if I'm honest, because the other left-back, Bailey Clements, is on loan at Hemel Hempstead now. So I think those guys will play, but anything else from there? Brett McGavin maybe in midfield.
Corey Ndaba.
He's on loan.
Of course he is. Yeah.
It could be. We've seen Tyrese Simpson and Tommy Hughes, haven't we, already in this competition? I'm sure they will be in the squad, whether they're in the team or not. I don't know, but it could be interesting.
We could have a penalty shootout if it goes to a draw. We'd have the most pointless, competitive inverted commas penalty shootout in the club's entire history.
And why wouldn't you want to be there to witness that?
No, remember, Meppen penalty shootout.
Good point.
Yeah.
finish
third.
Yeah.
And we lost.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Were heady days, weren't they? the boys in Germany. We forgot to play the podcast jingle during the thing, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But we did give the folklore podcast a shout out earlier on. So
kind of counts.
Ticks that box. We give it a play, Ross.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Great news for the Brexit podcast, this Brextension or Flexit or whatever it is till January. Get a bit more life out of that. Brilliant news. Anyway, that is definitely the note we should end this on. Bit of Brexit chat there from the boys. Thanks for listening, as always. Please send us some reviews. We really enjoy reading them. We've had a few more recently. They're really nice to read. Positive reviews. Sometimes we quite like to hear some negative ones as well.
I want to give a shout out to one of the listeners who did a video for me for game day on Saturday and sort of weird little chat about the pod. He's going to a live pod. Big shout out to Martin Dye, Anthony Southgate's friend. So
shout out Martin. Live pod's only
thanks,
a month
Martin.
Away now.
Yeah.
A month. Been a nice curry last Monday to plan for that and some progress was made.
Yeah. Just before we go, Mark implored me to. He felt I was too negative in pointing out our plummet down the rankings last time around. Felt that it was unnecessary for me to actually point out our chart position. I'm told, having done one, we've rocketed back up again. So I think the comparison I made in our WhatsApp chat is that we went from Carlisle to Cardiff. If we were comparing it to the. To the Football League rankings. He said that wasn't really selling it, but it is what it is. We're Cardiff now.
Come on. That is what we want. They definitely reward consistency, don't they?
Yes.
We'll do what we'll do with them daily and see how high we can get. Anyway, let's hit that music. Let's go, Ross, and we will catch you when Mr. Heath is back next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.